Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Kuf Mem Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you will find five lines from the top of Kuf Mem Beis. Lo yitol adam aim al bonim afilu l'tayr es hametzora. A person is not allowed to take the mother bird while it's sitting on its offspring, eggs or young chicks, even if your intention is to fulfill another mitzvah. For example, the purification of a mitzora, in order for the mitzora, who's in a state of tumah, of ritual impurity, he needs to bring birds where he two birds, he slaughters one and flutters away another bird. This is all done outside the Beis HaMikdash. It is not korban related per se, but nevertheless it is a mitzvah. Nevertheless, the Torah tells us that in order to acquire a bird for mitzvah tara purposes, you do not use the bird that you have a shiluah hakein obligation to fulfill. Uma im mitzvah kala shehi keiser. The Mishnah now goes on to make another point, and that is, here you have an example of a mitzvah. It is very easy to fulfill. Shu keiser, keiser is a coin. Rashi says she'ein bo chisorin kis el adover muad. There is practically no financial loss involved in fulfilling this particular mitzvah. And Omra Torah, at the same time, the Torah says, Laman yitavloch varachto yomim. A person will have good benefit and longevity. So for the fulfillment of a mitzvah that involves very little financial loss, and in most cases very little effort, there's great reward. Kal v'chomer al mitzvahs chamurah shebatorah. You can imagine all the more so for those mitzvahs in the Torah that are that require greater expenditure and exertion. It's well known that for the most part the Torah doesn't report on the reward given for the fulfillment of the overwhelming majority of the mitzvahs in the Torah. There are a couple of, we'll say, rare exceptions. One of them is Shiluah HaKein, and another one is the honor of parents, where the Torah says that in fulfillment of those mitzvahs, there is a reward of longevity and benefit. Tanya. We have a Tanaic source, and on the outside margin, we also have a topic heading where we've written Shitas Rabbi Yonkev, Be'inyan Schar Mitzvahs. We'll be now exposed to the approach of Rabbi Yonkev with regard to the reward one gets for the fulfillment of mitzvahs. And his approach is Schar Bahai Al Moleka, that the reward for the fulfillment of mitzvahs is not granted, is not acquired or achieved or experienced in this particular world, in the world in which we live. But rather, according to Rav Yankov's approach, whenever the Torah speaks about reward, it's a reward for the, we'll call it a later period of time. Sometimes it's referred to the afterlife, or Tchias HaMesim, but not to the world in which we currently live.
Tanya, Debei Rabbi Yankov.
a brisa coming from the yeshiva of Rav Yaakov, Omer, it says, Ein l'cho kol mitzvah u'mitzvah, Shabbat Torah. The next three words, the Marshal does not have in his text, so you see this quasi-parenthesis, and he would continue reading, Shein t'chias ha-meisim t'luya ba. There isn't any mitzvah whose reward is not associated with t'chias ha-meisim. That's a double negative, so we can say it in a simpler fashion, and that is that all the mitzvahs in the Torah, their schar is experienced only upon the resurrection of the dead. B'kivud avim k'siv. With regard to honoring one's parents, the Torah says l'man yarichun yomecho l'man yitav loch, which mentions longevity and benefit. B'shiluach hakein k'siv l'man yitav loch v'rach deyomim. And similarly, with regard to shiluach hakein, even though the order of the expressions is reversed from that of honor of parents, but it's the same result, and that is that there's yitav loch at benefit and longevity. Harach deyomim. Harei she'omar lo aviv alei lebira v'avei li gozlos. A father tells his son, go up to the house and bring for me the chicks. It's climb up a ladder to the rafters, to the roof, and bring down for me the chicks, which we're describing here, mitzvahs shiluach hakein. The ola, the son, went up the ladder, v'sholach esoeim v'lokach esabonim. He did what he was supposed to do. He sent away the mother and brought down and took the children, the bonim, the eggs, for his father. Ubechazaroso, and in his way down, after he sent away the mother and took the bonim, nofal umes, fell off the ladder and died. You can ask, heichon arichus yomov shelzeh, where is the longevity of this young man? Ve'echon toivoso shelzeh, where is the benefit, the good for this young man? So Rav Yaakov tells us that those are non-questions, because the issue of longevity and benefit is not something that is relevant with regard to this world. El olaman yarichun yomecha, the promise of longevity is le'olam shikulo oroch. That's a reference to a world that is of an infinite nature, that is of unlimited length. Ulaman yitavloch is the promise of benefit is le'olam shikulo toiv. That's a reference to receiving benefit in a world that is complete tov, complete good, which of course is not this world. At this point, we have a couple of double underlined appearances. The word v'dilma, on the outside margin we have a mivneh note, a structural note, nisyonos, these are attempts, lidchois maskonos Rav Yaakov. And these are attempts to reject Rav Yaakov's maskona based on what we just learned in this source. The first question is v'dilma lo havehochi, maybe this never took place. Namely, a son listening to his father going to fulfill this mitzvah and his subsequent dying, maybe it just never happened. In other words, it couldn't happen. The Gemara responds, Rav Yaakov maise chaza. Rav Yaakov saw an incident just like this. So you can't say it didn't happen. It did happen. And if it happened, so how do you resolve that with what it says in the psukim? So Rav Yaakov explained that there's no contradiction. The misfortune is something characteristic of this world. The benefits and rewards are something granted only in the other world. Question, v'dilma maharba avera havi. Maybe this individual that fell off the ladder, he fell off as a punishment because he was planning or scheming to do a sin. He was maharer b'avera. His mind was preoccupied with sin or sinful thoughts, and were thoughts concerning the performance of a sin, and that's why he fell off. But had he not been preoccupied with these thoughts of sin, so he would have in fact deserved reward in this world. So how is Rav Yankiv so sure that from this incident you can come to the conclusion that he mentioned regarding the other world? The Gemara says, even if he was preoccupied with thoughts concerning sin, the Kodesh Baruch Hu does not hold a person accountable whatsoever for mere thoughts. That is, of course, qualified. There are certain cases where thoughts are can be highly detrimental, but in general, if one is, let us say, scheming or thinking about eating a roasted ham or thinking of robbing a bank, those thoughts in and of themselves are not considered problematic, if you will, or certainly not punishment worthy. So that even if this young man had been scheming to rob a bank, and that's all, that would not have been the reason for his death. But still, we have a question. V'dilma mahar b'avodah zorah, maybe this young man that was listening to his father and who eventually fell off the ladder was thinking about idolatry. And our thoughts concerning idolatry are different. Dichtiv, Laman Tfoy says, Beis Yisrael, Belibom. The Pasuk says that we are held accountable for Belibom in our hearts, meaning thoughts of an idolatrous nature could result in punishment. The Yomar of Achav Rehankiv, Zumach Sheves, Avodah Zarah. This Pasuk that says, Laman Tfoy says, Beis Yisrael, Belibom, is a reference to thoughts concerning idolatry. So maybe that's what this young man was preoccupied with, and his falling off the ladder is a punishment for this. Had he not been Mahara Bavero, so he would have deserved reward, and that reward would have been experienced, in fact, in this world. So how could Rabbi Yankiv be so sure of his conclusion based on this incident? Hochi Ko'omar. Thusly, Rav Yankiv is trying to argue. In other words, the point that Rav Yankiv is trying to make is as follows. Im isa de'ikos schar mitzvos b'hai alma. If it were so that there is reward and benefit from mitzvahs that one does in this world, teheni lei, so this schar should have benefited this young man, v'togein olei delo leisi lidehu or v'litzik. That would have benefited him, and working as a defense mechanism from him ever coming to idolatrous thoughts in the first place. Ella, schar mitzvus b'hai almaleka. Therefore, I have to conclude, says Rav Yankiv, that the concept of reward for mitzvus has no relevance to what takes place in this world. So that it may very well be that he fell off because he was thinking idolatrous thoughts, but that in and of itself, that itself would have proven my point, says Rav Yankiv, because if there was a concept of schar mitzvah in this world, that itself would have prevented him from coming to idolatrous thoughts. The Gemara asks, V'homer Rav Elazar shluchei mitzvah einon nizokin. The Gemara is asking now from another principle. How is it that he fell off the ladder when there's a known reality that people who are on their way to fulfill mitzvahs are protected? They don't get hurt. So the Gemara answers, well, b'chazorosam shiny, on their way back, as in this case he fulfilled the mitzvah already. He was simply on his way back. And as such, he's not under this protection. The Gemara asks, that's not true. V'omar Rebbe Elazar, shluchei mitzvah ein nizokin loy b'alichasen v'lo b'chazorosan. People who are involved with executing mitzvahs are not are protected, are not hurt, neither on their way to the mitzvah nor on their way from having fulfilled the mitzvah. So the question remains, how could this young man have fallen to his death? The Gemara answers, well, you know what happened here? Sulam re'ua have umokom dekavua hezeka shiny. We're talking here about a shaky ladder, and there is a rule that even though shluchei mitzvah einu nizokin, that is not the case when you are in a dangerous, in a clearly dangerous situation. So that the protection that mitzvah performance affords is a, we'll call it a limited insurance policy. And what we mean by that is, if it's a place where there's clear, imminent danger, then one cannot rely on being on merely being a shliach mitzvah. And there is a basis for this from the story in Sefer Shmuel, where the Navi, the prophet Shmuel, was sent on a mission to anoint David HaMelech, King David, in the lifetime of Shaul, who was the acting king. And that is a, we'll say that's a type of a very, very dangerous mission. The Pasuk says, how can I go? And Shmuel will get wind of what I'm up to. He will hear of it and kill me. So we see that Shmuel, even though he was acting as on the command of the Almighty, which we can call a mitzvah, nevertheless, he felt insecure because of the threat, the imminent threat posed by Shaul, the acting king. So that you could see that Shmuel was asking the Almighty for some type of alternative solution to achieve protection, and reliance upon the fact that he was on a mission of the Almighty was not sufficient. Omar Rav Yosef, Ilmole Darshe Acher Lahaikrok Rav Yankiv Bar Bar Te Lo Chota. Had Acher is a nickname for Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya was a person who had achieved a very high level of Torah scholarship. But the Gemara in Chagiga reports that Elisha ben Avuya went off the path. He, what exactly happened, one has to do much more extensive research, and what the Gemara itself tells us of some of the things that something that he violated, but it's in general, we'll leave it as a general comment that Elisha ben Avuya went off the path, and hence things that are said in his name is no longer cited, but he's known as Acher, the other one. Had Acher, Elisha ben Avuya, approached the psukim that we have engaged in, l'man yuruchan yamecho, l'man yitav loch, the way his grandson, the son of his own grandson, the son of his daughter, the son of Elisha ben Avuya's daughter, lochota, he, Elisha ben Avuya, would not have sinned. He wouldn't have gone off. Well, what caused him to go off? The Gemara asks. My chaza, what did he see that caused him to go off the path? Well, Iko di Amri ki hai maisa choza. Some say that he saw this incident that we saw above in the Brisa, where a father told his son, get eggs for me through the performance of Shiluah HaKein. And the son came back and died. And that raised great philosophical and spiritual doubts in the mind of Acher, to the extent that he departed from the ways of tradition. The Ikar D'Amri, another explanation for what caused Acher to leave the fold, leave the path, is Lishno de Rebbe Chutzpis Ha Meturgimon Chaza. He saw the tongue of a great individual that lived at the time, we're talking here, a time of the end of the second Beis Hamikdash period. Rabbi Chutzpis was a person who was a meturgeman. He would say over the Torah lectures for other rabbonim. And in the we're talking about the Roman period, where the Romans executed a number of great rabbinic figures, including this Rebbe Chutzpahs. And Elisha ben Avuya saw his tongue, Dave Mutelis Bashba. He saw his tongue in a garbage heap. Omar Achir said, Pe Shehifik Margolius, this mouth, Rabbi Chutzpahs' mouth, that used to cast forth pearls. He used to say over the Torah to the public, Yilchoich Afar, shall it now lick the dirt? So this what we would call seeming injustice caused Achir to raise serious philosophical doubts and issues. However, v'hu lo yoda, but he did not realize that the Torah, which promises reward for the fulfillment of mitzvahs, where it says l'man yitav loch, but that's ba'olam shikulo tov, that's not in this world, that's a reference to the world of ultimate good. L'man yarichun yamecha, and the pasuk that promises longevity, that's not in this world, that's ba'olam shikulo oroch, that's in the world that is eternally long. And hence, if he would have understood that, he would not have gone astray. And with this, with the citation of and there is an Oilam Shikulo Tov and an Oilam Shikulo Oroch, we conclude this Masechta, we conclude Maseches Chulin, and with that we conclude our Shiur for today.